Welcome to the Femme Health Podcast, where we focus on providing clarity and evidence-based facts in female health and wellness. The internet, or as us physicians like to say, Dr. Google, can be overwhelming for patients seeking reliable information. And unfortunately, not all of that information is backed by research, science, and real doctors. Here, we pride ourselves on demystifying medicine for you and giving you access to some of the most talented medical doctors or experts in their field. I'm your host, Dr. Sayana Gori, and I interview doctors so you can have an inside look at what I would ask my colleagues if I had a medical question. Let's get started with today's episode. So today on the Femme Health Podcast, we are going to be talking about the thyroid gland, and most specifically, a disease called hypothyroid. Now, as you all know, the Femme Health Podcast is all about evidence-based medicine, and we feature expert physicians to talk about each subject. So today, we have Dr. Susan Zweig on the show. Dr. Zweig specializes in endocrinology, the treatment of glandular disorders, including diabetes, thyroid disorders, menstrual and fertility disorders, osteoporosis, and other conditions. She is board certified in internal medicine and endocrinology, diabetes, and metabolism. She's also a clinical associate professor at the NYU School of Medicine, where she educates medical students, residents, and endocrine fellows. And as if all that isn't enough, Dr. Zweig is also a researcher and involved in several clinical trials. Dr. Zweig has been featured in New York Magazine's Best Doctors, Castle Connolly's Top Doctors, U.S. News and World Report, U.S. News Top Doctor, and has been named by her peers for the Super Doctors list. Whew, that is an impressive list of accomplishments. Now, to become an endocrinologist, you need to complete 4 years of medical school training, 3 years of internal medicine residency, and then another 2 years of endocrinology. So that is 9 years of training after college. So you guys know that Dr. Zweig is an expert. So without further delay, Dr. Susan Zweig, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for being here and taking time out of your schedule to talk to us about the thyroid gland. So let's just start off by having you explain to our listeners what the thyroid gland is and what it's responsible for doing.
The thyroid gland is a small butterfly-shaped gland. It sits on the front lower part of your neck, and it's responsible for making thyroid hormone. The thyroid hormone controls metabolism, and metabolism is how the body uses and stores energy, how it regulates your temperature, your weight, and helps your organs and muscles function properly.
Okay, awesome. So today specifically, we're going to be talking about hypothyroid. And so, Susan, can you just explain the terms hypo and hyper as they relate to the thyroid gland?
Sure. Hypothyroidism is an underactive thyroid gland where your body is not making enough thyroid hormone. Conversely, hyperthyroidism is when your thyroid gland is making too much thyroid hormone. And like everything else in the body, we want you to be just right, not too high and not too low. And that's, again, important with the thyroid.
Okay, awesome. So hypothyroid is when a person is not making enough thyroid hormone. And the reason we're talking about this on the Femme Health Podcast is because it does occur more commonly in women, and it can also affect fertility, which I don't think a lot of women know that. So Susan, how much more common is hypothyroid in women as compared to men?
So hypothyroidism and thyroid disease in general occurs in both sexes, but it is much more common in women. Studies say about an average of 5 to 8 times more common in women than men.
Okay, wow. So that's a lot more common. Let's get into some details. There are a few hormones we need to know about when it comes to the thyroid gland. Can you go through a few of these hormones for us?
The most important one that people need to know, which is the one that's used as a screening test and also to monitor thyroid disease, is something called TSH, or thyroid stimulating hormone. This is made by the pituitary gland, which is a small P-shaped gland that sits at the bottom of the brain that's a command center for a lot of hormones, including thyroid hormone. And the TSH then sends signals to the thyroid gland to make thyroid hormone. And T4, berthyroxine and T3, triiodothyronine. Those are both thyroid hormones that are made in the thyroid gland. In addition, T3 can sometimes be found in other tissues as T4 gets converted to T3 as the body needs it because it's an active thyroid hormone.
T3 is the active thyroid hormone, and the TSH, which is thyroid stimulating hormone, is made by the pituitary gland, which is a different gland in the body.
Correct.
So as a doctor who's measuring thyroid function, you're actually looking initially at TSH, which is not made by the thyroid gland, it's made by the pituitary gland.
You are exactly right. So when the brain senses that there isn't enough thyroid hormone around, it's going to send an increased signal, meaning it will send more TSH. So when someone has hypothyroidism, their TSH will actually be high because the brain is sending more signal to the thyroid gland to make more thyroid hormone. This is often confusing for some patients because they'll say, oh, my thyroid is high, looking at their high TSH, but actually it's inversely proportional, meaning that the thyroid is function is actually low.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so the pituitary is sensing, hey, there's not enough thyroid hormone in the body. I need to send more TSH to the thyroid gland. So when the thyroid gland is underfunctioning, pituitary gland sending tons of TSH to it to start stimulating it. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. That can be very confusing for patients. You know, as an eye doctor, sometimes I have to remind myself of all the things I learned in medical school. And it was really nice to have a review of that because I get confused in those loops as well. And that's good to know. So someone with hypothyroid is going to have a high TSH and will have a low amount of thyroid hormone in their body.
Yes.
And what are some of the symptoms of hypothyroidism?
So some patients can actually be asymptomatic, and sometimes some patients can be severely, severely symptomatic with a multitude of symptoms. What's important to remember is that a lot of the symptoms of hypothyroidism can be nonspecific, meaning that they're not necessarily from thyroid disease and can also occur in many other disorders. But when you look at all of the symptoms and you put that together with blood tests, with an exam, then you can kind of decide, is this consistent with thyroid disease? The most common symptoms of hypothyroidism or a low thyroid are fatigue, being tired, gaining weight, feeling cold, dry skin, constipation. Periods can become irregular. It can lead to depression, trouble with memory, slow down the heart rate, elevate cholesterol, affect fertility, as I know we're going to discuss. And in very, very severe cases, it could lead to coma and even death, but that is not very common.
Oh my God. So if you're having a lot of these symptoms, you really should get them checked out. And I imagine that checking thyroid levels is pretty routine in women.
You know, it really should be, but you'd be surprised how often it's skipped. And a lot of times, especially young women who are healthy, may not be having regular checkups and regular laboratory tests. And the only time they may end up getting it checked is once they are pregnant and doing, you know, routine pregnancy labs. And even then, not all OBs check it all the time. I personally, and I may be biased being a thyroid doctor, if I'm doing a yearly physical on someone, I always add thyroid function tests. If somebody has symptoms, of course, I order them. And really, the recommendations are for any woman of childbearing age to have their thyroid function checked.
Around what age would you recommend starting, and at what age is it maybe not worth it to keep checking it?
You know, it really depends when you look at guidelines, where those guidelines are coming from. Is it a guideline that's based on what's cost effective, or is it something that's more clinically based? You know, I see no problem checking it yearly, especially if you're trying to get pregnant. And then thyroid disease, as many diseases, the incidence increases with age. So it's actually important to check menopause and after, because you can develop thyroid disease at that time, and a lot of women do. And when you're older, sometimes traditional symptoms that a younger person would have are not the same as an older person. It may be much, much more subtle. In addition, you know, a lot of these symptoms are nonspecific, and sometimes women say, oh, I'm tired, you know, I'm very busy, I work, I have a family, or I'm getting older, of course I'm tired, or I'm gaining weight, that's because of age, or I haven't been eating as well. And so sometimes people are quick to just push it off that, oh, this is just normal, and this is my quote unquote new normal, and this is how I feel, when it actually can be a thyroid condition.
Yeah, that's really scary, because I feel like sometimes I justify my own tiredness just by my schedule. Or if I'm not feeling good one day, or if maybe I'm feeling sad, I just attribute it to, oh, it's probably just I'm taking on too much.
100%.
I totally agree with you, because I think that I justify a lot of my own symptoms just due to my work schedule or trying to do too much. And so I can only imagine that women who have children and full-time jobs, if they become depressed or tired, they would just say, oh, it's probably because I'm doing too much. And it may not occur to them that there could actually be a hormonal imbalance going on that they need to get checked out.
100%. You know, people try to push through and ignore symptoms, and there often can be a medical reason for it. You know, with the caveat that, listen, there's plenty of reasons to feel tired and gain weight. And sometimes patients will insist they have a thyroid condition when they actually don't, because those things can be for many, many different things. But you never want to say something is, you know, in someone's head when there actually may be a medical cause for it. When I teach the medical students thyroid disease, I always tell them that at least once a year, I get a consult about a young woman that's hyperthyroid or has an overactive thyroid. And the scenarios vary, but for many times it will be a young woman who's in law school and she's very anxious and is having trouble sleeping and may have even ended up in the emergency room a few times. And everyone just keeps telling her, you need to calm down, stop being so stressed. And it turns out many of them have been hyperthyroid or have an overactive thyroid that's completely the cause of their symptoms and absolutely treatable. So I think you have to always take a step back, look at the big picture, have a physician that you trust, go over your symptoms. And if they can be consistent with the medical condition, it's a very easy thing to do a quick blood test. That if it gives you the answer, great. If not, then you know you're not missing anything.
Is there a situation where the blood test is normal, the screening blood test for TSH that you talked about, but a patient is still having extreme symptoms? Are there more tests to do in that situation?
You have to put the whole picture together. If the blood tests are very, very, very normal, then it's not likely that there's thyroid disease. Often with a TSH, the physician may also get thyroid hormone level, often what we call free T4, which is the active circulating T4 hormone, the most common one that's checked with the TSH. And if it's very, very normal, there isn't thyroid dysfunction. Now, with that said, there's a range of normal, and different people may feel better at different parts of that range. I have had some people come in with blood tests that I can't believe they're walking around, and they're like, wait, I feel fine. And then there are other patients with very borderline levels, and they really don't feel well, and they need to have their medication adjusted. So you really have to take it on a case-by-case basis. But the thyroid function tests are fairly accurate if interpreted properly.
So Dr. Zweig, is there ever a scenario that someone can have a thyroid problem, but all their values are normal?
That's a really good question. Yes, absolutely. Not all thyroid problems have to do with thyroid functioning. One that it can be related to thyroid function is something called Hashimoto's or Hashimoto's thyroiditis. This is when the body makes antibodies that attack the thyroid. Most commonly, these antibodies block the thyroid from making its hormone and functioning properly. Occasionally, they can stimulate the thyroid, but most commonly, they block it and can cause hypothyroidism. You can have antibodies against your thyroid or what's called Hashimoto's and have absolutely normal thyroid function. But what this means is that you are at risk for thyroid dysfunction, and that risk increases over time or with age. Other conditions are thyroid nodules or growths in the thyroid gland that may or may not be cancer or malignant. And most commonly, thyroid nodules do not affect thyroid function. There are some type of thyroid nodules that are called autonomous nodules, meaning that they function on their own, and they actually make excess thyroid hormone. So in that case, that would cause hyperthyroidism.
Okay, got it. So thyroid hormone is called thyroxine or T4, and we look at TSH mainly, and then plus minus looking at thyroxine when we are looking to check for thyroid function for hypothyroidism. And that may or may not be related to having other thyroid disorders. So I want to just talk a little bit now also about thyroid gland and infertility. So how common is infertility in women with thyroid disorders?
You know, it's hard to say because infertility is a complex condition. And sometimes it's hard to really tease out what is the cause of that particular couple's infertility. But what we do know is that when anything in the body is not at the right level, it could affect other things, and especially infertility. If the thyroid function is too high, meaning hyperthyroidism, or too low, called hypothyroidism, that can affect fertility. That can affect a woman getting pregnant or keeping the pregnancy or having a healthy pregnancy. Hashimoto's or those antibodies against the thyroid that we discussed just before, that in some studies have shown that it can make it more difficult to get pregnant and to keep that pregnancy.
So let's say a woman has Hashimoto's or is unable to get pregnant because of hypothyroidism. Would correcting that be an immediate solution to trying to get pregnant, or is there a long time lapse in when fertility returns to normal? How does that look for that patient?
You know, again, because you can't really say that this is the reason per se that that one person isn't getting pregnant, but it is a contributing factor. So if someone is trying to get pregnant or is pregnant and their thyroid function is abnormal, you want to try to correct that right away, especially if they are pregnant. Because in the beginning of pregnancy, the baby doesn't have their own thyroid gland yet, and they're relying on the mother giving it enough thyroid hormone so that its brain and other organs develop properly.
Okay, got it. And so we treat the thyroid disorder and hope that that results in a better outcome for fertility and obviously for the baby. And like you said, you check those hormones in pregnancy as routine. So if something were to come up, it's something that would be treated, correct?
Well, it absolutely should be. And, you know, women, if they have a known thyroid disorder, they should check their levels before getting pregnant. And what I always tell my patients is, if when you are pregnant, I'm your second phone call. Call your partner and then call me. And, you know, if someone doesn't have a thyroid condition and is seeing an OB, and they're doing those routine blood tests that they do in the beginning of pregnancy, they should ask, hey, are you checking my thyroid function? And if not, have them check it to make sure that everything's okay. you know, one thing to be important for the listeners to know is that if you do have a thyroid condition and then become pregnant, the thyroid has to be followed very closely, especially in the first trimester. And the medication dose usually needs to be increased. During pregnancy, there's increased estrogen and binding proteins, and the baby doesn't have its own thyroid yet. So the thyroid hormone requirement increases. And what we usually do is prophylactically increase the dose as soon as a woman is pregnant, rather than wait for them to go low, which could be very dangerous to a baby, and then go up, you know, increase the dose afterwards. So we usually go up knowing that they're going to need more. And then you want to really check it, you know, quite regularly during the pregnancy.
And if you deliver your baby and you've had a condition with your thyroid during your pregnancy, do you need to continue doing that at those high levels during breastfeeding also, or does it go down?
That's a great question. As soon as the woman gives birth, her thyroid hormone requirement will decrease back, usually to pre-pregnancy doses, but sometimes that can change. So right after giving birth, we usually go back down. But breastfeeding does not increase the requirement.
And what about for the baby? Do you see any manifestations in a baby that either from the hypothyroidism or the thyroid disorder itself, or even maybe from some of the medications? Are there any risks to the baby?
Good question. So if the mother has good thyroid control during the pregnancy, the baby should be absolutely fine and not have effects hypothyroidism afterward. And in fact, all babies, even if the mother did not have a thyroid problem, get checked for to make sure that they don't have thyroid dysfunction. And there could actually be something called congenital hypothyroidism, where the baby is born without a thyroid or with significant hypothyroidism. And that's important because you want to make sure that they get thyroid hormone so that their brain and other development happens appropriately.
So one last question for you, Dr. Zweig. The medications for hypothyroidism, when the TSH is low, are those safe in pregnancy and breastfeeding?
Absolutely. It's just replacing what's missing and completely safe and very necessary for the health of the mother and the baby. Totally safe in pregnancy and in breastfeeding. With hyperthyroidism, those medications can have risks to both the mother and the baby. That's why we only use them when we absolutely have to for the health of the mother and the baby. But they do have risks, so that's why we only use them if we have to.
Okay, got it. So for hypothyroidism, medications are fine. For hyper, they are a little bit more complicated. So we will be talking about that on a future episode with Dr. Zweig. And so stay tuned for that future episode on hyperthyroidism. Thank you so much, Susan, for being on the show. I really learned so much from you today. I think our listeners learned a lot. And just as a reminder to all our listeners, everything that is said on the show is not a replacement for advice from your physician if you're having any of these conditions. These are just the expressed views of the physicians on this show. So always make sure to check in with your doctor if you're having an issue and ask the right questions and take the right precautions. Susan, thank you so much for being on the show. We're definitely going to have you back to talk more about thyroid disorders and other endocrine issues. Thank you so much.
It was absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And another reminder to our listeners before we sign off here, we do have a publication that goes hand in hand with our podcast if you're interested in learning more. So check that out on our website. And we look forward to the next show and having you guys listen again.